So What Do You Think? The podcast where we chat about the Bible from Genesis to Revelation with friends, family, and loved ones. We laugh.
It's the laver where they wash up. Then when you wash up. I'm from Missouri, so y'all leave me alone.
She's from Missouri.
She really means wash.
I'm learning more and more how little I know.
Day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing. I can't do this.
We do impressions.
Hello. I love the tomatoes.
Hi, this is Chang's Chinese restaurant.
We get a little silly.
Jericho, Joshua, Battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
I feel I have a hard time with
not condiments. She loves ketchup and mayonnaise.
So, in Genesis.
Genesis. That's our southern accent coming in there, folk.
I'm just a little black angel.
A little serious.
My spirit, Bubba, what if I give you what you deserve?
And a lot grateful.
When you feel that, you know, where is God? Well, that's him.
That's him showing his love.
Yes, he's got all these people loving on you.
Oh, you know,
as we ask and answer questions about the Bible, faith, God, and everything in between. Welcome to So What Do You Think? Take a load off, get comfy, and stay a while.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. And you won't believe who my guest is today. He's like Sasquatch. Everybody's seen his obscure pictures of him. But nobody has seemed to find him in person.
Wow, Sasquatch. Welcome. You've called me a lot of names in the past, but you haven't called me Sasquatch before.
Robert Cabrera. Welcome.
Hey, everybody. It's really,
so, how you been doing?
I've been doing pretty well. I have.
Tell your one fan.
My one fan?
I'm just joking.
No, I don't think I have even that one fan. But yeah, no, I've been doing pretty good. It's been a long year of trying to recover from this whole Lyme thing, and I still have lapses. And that's actually what I thought it was a relapse at one point. Is what was happening, because that's how you talk about, you know, illnesses and things, but it's really, that's not really what it is. It's basically just, you know, your body reacting to what's happening around it. And sometimes I just lapse back into, what's happening with Lyme, which, is getting better and better. So we'll just keep fighting it.
You're awesome and an inspiration.
Sorry.
So we're going to start off with Jesus said, what?
Yeah. Let's do that. Because what we're looking at is this past week, and as we're recording this is actually the day of Easter. So this would be, we would call this Resurrection Sunday. But this past week was Holy Week, and we want to look at it and say, hey, what exactly happened here, and how did Jesus know it was going to happen? Because what one of the verses that we're talking about here, I named it Jesus Said What. It's Matthew 20, 17 through 19. And what it says is, I'm just going to read the 18 and 19. This is Jesus speaking. He says, behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will deliver him up to the Gentiles to mock, scourge, crucify, and on the third day he will be raised again. So basically, this is Jesus and his disciples walking down the road, and Jesus stops. He said, I pull over to the side. They're headed into Jerusalem, and they're about to go through what's called, again, what we call the Holy Week. So he pulls them aside, and he said, listen, this is what's about to happen. Interestingly enough, you probably noticed he was speaking in third person. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
So just out of curiosity, why would he speak in third person in this particular situation?
I don't know.
The way it reads is he says he will be delivered, and they will deliver him up to Gentiles to mock and scorn and crucify him. So he's speaking in third person. What he's doing here, I think, it doesn't specify, and I couldn't really find anything on it that, you know, targeted as this. This is prophecy. What Jesus is doing is he's looking at his disciples and said, this has been foretold. You should know what this is because it's about to happen. Get ready. So he's speaking to them as if he's reading prophecy to them.
Yeah.
And the disciples are kind of soaking it in, going, okay, we still don't really know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So he doesn't go into a lot of sharing, but the question is what actually is he talking about? Now, you and Mom covered some of this on earlier podcasts,
mm-hmm.
which has to do with the Exodus.
Right.
So I think Mom talked about it before Easter, didn't she? Where she was talking about Holy Week and what each day was going to transpire each day concerning Jesus.
And to protect them from the, I don't know what it was, Satan coming through and killing the people in the houses, they were to put lamb's blood, right?
That's pretty close, except for the Satan part. It was actually God.
Okay.
Yeah. If you read Exodus 12, what you got is you got God looking at Moses. He said, list, go, Mo. Go to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want you to do is I want you to tell them to pull a lamb, a perfect lamb, if they can afford it, out of their flock. And this is a really cool part.
Yeah.
At least not for the lamb, but for, you know, the us.
Right.
And for us to study. Is they pulled the lamb. God said, pull the lamb out, and I want him to live with you. And I want you to study him. And I want you to look at him. And I want you to make sure there's no spots on him. I want you to make sure that he's perfect. And so the Jews at that time living in Egypt pulled the lamb in, and that lamb lived with them for basically a week. Now think about what I'm saying. What happened with Jesus when he came into Jerusalem?
Same thing. They were inspecting him and testing him.
That's right. Asking him questions, looking for blemishes, looking for ways to blame him. They kept testing him with questions and other things. The lawyers, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all of them just kept probing him, trying to figure out what some of his weak points are.
Faults.
His faults. Thank you. That's right.
Yeah.
Just as the God told them to bring the lamb in, Jesus walked into Jerusalem and said, here I am. Do your best.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed that inspection. So what God told the Jews to do, but while they were in Egypt, remember Moses went through the whole throwing toads at them and all those other things that come flying out of the sky, hell and all that. And finally, Pharaoh relented and said, go, get out of here. So what God told Moses to tell the people was, that night, you take that lamb that you've now studied for a week looking for blemishes, and you sacrifice that lamb, and you take blood from that lamb, you put it across the door, and the angel that comes around will pass over that door.
Well, he didn't let him go till after that.
Yes, that's right. Because it was after what ended up happening was Pharaoh himself said, we are going to kill the first child of the first living child of every family. And God said, well, you've condemned your own. And so it was after that God told Moses to do this with the lamb, because the angel of death was going to come through and take the firstborn of Egypt and any place else that wasn't covered by that blood. So this is a foreshadowing, a foretelling of what God's going to do in His own Son. So that's kind of what we're looking at now. We're looking at Jesus getting ready to walk into Jerusalem to get ready to be slaughtered, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So he has gone and pulled the disciples aside and told them what's about to happen.
Isn't it so exciting? Well, we're not there yet.
Go ahead.
I don't know, when you're a Christian, Resurrection Sunday is very, very, very exciting. You know?
Yep. Yeah, it is, because it's, in fact, you're right. We're getting just a little bit ahead of ourselves there. But
I told you I'd wait.
but here's the point. This is a good point. We'll probably come back to it. Is Jesus was either the greatest liar in history, or he was who he said he was. And there's the proof that he was who he said he was in the resurrection. It doesn't matter what all was said while he was on earth. When he died, came back 3 days later, everything he said was true.
If he'd have just died, he'd been another Buddha or anybody else.
Yep, he's the only one that's come back.
Right.
So that's the story that we're leading into. Because what I really want to get to is I've got one more thing to read before we get here, but we're about to get into two words that probably everybody has trouble with. Mm-hmm. We're going to call it the Easter affect and the Easter effect.
Mm-hmm.
The only changes are an A and an E.
And the meaning.
And there is that meaning thing.
Yeah.
So we got that whole thing going for us.
Effect
or affect. Where did I put my phone? Anyway, I had the definition.
If you made up a song, we could learn it.
Yeah. Like we did the alphabet thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the short version of it. Short version of how to use affect versus effect. Affect is usually a verb, and it means to impact or change. Effect is usually a noun. And effect is the result of that change. So I'm going to read one thing from Hebrews. Maybe we'll talk about it for a minute, and then we're going to move into the main part of this. So if you need to stop me, just go ahead. Make my day.
Okay, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you.
Go ahead. Just make my day. Okay, so this is actually from Hebrews, and this goes back to, Jesus said, what? because it's kind of the reason. Let me read it for you. It's in Hebrews, and we're in chapter 9, verses 11, 12, 13, and 14. Wow, that's a lot. I don't know. Can I read that much? I did go to Osborne, so I don't know.
You can.
I can do
you
it?
You can do it.
All right.
Yeah.
But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling those who had been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I'm getting at with the affect and effect, one of my favorite scriptures has to do with what we're talking here. And it's actually in Galatians 2:20. The whole scripture is, for I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God. So, if we're looking at it from Galatians 2:20, what are the effects? Have I got it right? What are the effects
of the effect?
What are the effects of Easter? So, what are the verbs in this scripture I just read, which is 2:24? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. So,
crucified.
Crucified. Yes.
I win.
You win.
Woo, woo.
Yes. Crucified would be the verb. So it's not just that, though, but it's also about, and it's no longer I that live. So crucified and no longer live are the two ideas that I want to talk about. Because when Christ died, he did so for the effect that we can now. What am I looking for? Help me out, Missy.
We can now be forgiven of our sins.
Well, we can be forgiven of our sins, but it's not just that. The idea that when Jesus died on the cross, remember the curtain was torn,
right?
In the tabernacle.
Oh, we can have relationship with.
Thank you. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Because of what he did, and he was crucified. We can now have relationship with God that we couldn't have before.
It's like you built a bridge and we can go and speak with God and have a relationship with God.
Exactly. So the effect of the Easter effect on one side is that he was crucified. And by that crucifixion, we can now have a relationship with him, which is now goes to the next one, which is, but Christ lives in me. So if we can have that relationship with God and that bridge is torn and that curtain's torn, we can now make that step. Galatians 2:20 is now telling us, but then he also, because of his sacrifice, because of what he did, and when he went back to the Father, we now can have him living in us. The Holy Spirit now comes to dwell in us.
Right, right.
And that's kind of where we're getting with this whole thing. is mm-hmm. that Easter is really not about us going out and doing a bunch of stuff. It's about the indwelling Spirit in us and mm-hmm. Him living through us. And basically, we're just to abide. We're right. we're to live our life based on Him, not what we think we want. He wants us to do. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the effect, the verb, is that He is crucified and I no longer live. The effect is that Christ now indwells me. So let's go to the next part, which is another verb, effect, mm-hmm. the life I live in this body. So I'm still living the life in this body.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to go to the next step. I live by faith in the Son of God. So the verb is, I still live this life in this body. The noun is, but He's the one living in me.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because I was crucified. When Christ was crucified, I was crucified with Him. So I no longer live, He lives. Does that make sense?
Yes. There we go deep, but yeah.
Well, it's the think of it as the Easter effect. The Easter effect, yeah. The Easter effect is God did something, verb, we, and then He indwelt us, noun. So when you look at it that way, it goes beyond just, oh, good, Easter's all funny and bunnies and stuff and chocolate. It becomes yeah. something that's life-changing. It becomes something about abiding. It becomes something about Him living in us and through us,
mm-hmm.
not about us celebrating anything.
Right.
So the last one is the, well, we'll talk more, but basically the last part of Galatians 2:20
mm-hmm.
Is who loved me and gave Himself for me. Again, going back to the effect or the verb, He gave Himself for me. It was an action that He did so that I could have that relationship because the curtain tore, you know, representing the separation of us and God. And now I can have that relationship. The Holy Spirit can live in me. The Holy Spirit can change me. And the Holy Spirit can live through me. And with that in mind, it's more about, it becomes all about Him, not about us.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Which you've said all along and taught me that. It's not about you.
Well, and it's not. So we've looked at this past year, so to speak, and we've mm-hmm. said... we said things like, oh, we're all in this together and we, you know, it's what this is terrible.
Yeah.
And what we should be doing is saying this is about Him. Anytime anything happens, like, for example, that we say happened in 2:20, no matter how, whether it was good or bad for you, there was things going on that, you know, that that affected everybody.
Right.
God's goal in those situations is always to turn us back to Him.
Mm-hmm.
His goal is always for us to have a better relationship or start a relationship with Him. See, we think the universe rotates around us. It really doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
The universe rotates around Him.
Yeah. And that is the biggest lesson you've taught me.
Well,
not about me.
Yeah. It's a hard one to learn because it feels like it's about me. You know, this whole thing with Lyme, I feel like it's about me. Why'd that tick bite me? It ticked me off. Did that tick bit me? Tick shouldn't be.
Then he got bit by a spider.
Yeah, well, that was a whole different thing. I get bit by spiders all the time.
And then you're going to be a tick Spider-Man, yeah, whatever. Something.
Tick man, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We can do both. So I want to read a couple of things from Ephesians, if that's okay.
It is.
This one has to, a couple of these in Ephesians have to do with affect, again, which is the verb. Right?
Yeah.
Right? You got it? Verb?
Action word.
Got it. Yeah. Action word. All right. So it's in chapter 1, and this is some fantastic stuff. Anybody listening, please, please, please read this stuff, especially the whole first chapter of Ephesians. I'm about to read 5, 6, and 7.
Okay.
And then I'm going to jump to chapter 2, 4, and 5. So this is chapter 1, 5, 6, and 7. He predestined us to adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. All about Him. Mm-hmm. All right, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
Mm-hmm.
So the actions that God did to bring us to him. And you know what's really funny is that this all happened before creation.
Yeah, it started, you mean?
Well, sure. We'll do it that way so we won't cause controversy.
Yeah, please do, because you're going to confuse me.
Especially when you get into Ephesians 1 and start talking about predestination, and people just throw their arms up in the air and say, God wouldn't do that. He's a loving God. It's not really about being predestined or chosen ahead of time. The interesting thing about the Ephesians, when you read it in the Greek, you find out Paul's really saying, you know what? We're all chosen, but not all choose.
Mm-hmm.
So God wants all of us to have salvation.
Right.
But not all of us want to be saved.
Yeah.
And I know that's hard. A lot of people, no, everybody should be wanting. No, they don't. They really, really don't. They don't have a heart for it. They don't have a mind for it. They don't think about God. That's not in their daily vocabulary, so to speak.
Yeah.
So that one's the effect, the verb. Now let's move to the noun for just one, I think. Philippians 1:6.
Mm-hmm.
You're not turning in your Bible. How can you be sitting on the front row of the church without turning in your Bible?
You don't know what I'm doing over here.
I do. I can look at you and see.
I'm waiting for you to read it to me.
Philippians 1:6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in me were perfected until the day of Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus living in us. Jesus living through us. And what's our part of it? That's always going to be people's question, is what's our part of it? I'm asking. Nothing. Don't just shake your head.
Nothing.
Nothing? Well, is it?
To get out of the way?
So, yeah, well, in some ways, but I mean, are you used as a vessel? I'm asking in general, anybody listening, you know, you're welcome to throw in an answer. We got places for you to do that on email and at the website and all that good stuff. but the
Holy Spirit,
is a guide and a teacher, and the Holy Spirit works through us to get things accomplished. So do we get in the way more often than not?
Sure.
Yeah, I think so. Because what do we want to do? We want to do it our way.
Mm-hmm.
We want to rush ahead and say, I want to fix this, instead of just waiting, mm-hmm. and let him do the work.
Yeah.
He does the drawing. Anybody that's listening to this that's ever witnessed to anyone and said, I can't believe they didn't accept Jesus. Not your responsibility. Our responsibility is to respond to the Holy Spirit. Our responsibility truly is to relate to God. Which brings up a really good question. Are we ready?
Yes.
So I asked Missy this question a long time ago, for those of you that are listening. And I asked, I've asked several other people, and all of them have just looked at me and said, shut up.
We might do that.
We probably will. Yeah. So, and I'm hoping I can ask the question, because I want everybody out there to think about what I'm about to say or ask. Do we, as believers, make our image or belief of who God is into, what's the word I'm looking for, Missy?
Father?
No. Into a idol. Instead of?
What?
Well, instead of letting God be God. Okay, so God's alive.
You're talking about like a picture or something?
Well, maybe a picture. That could be it. But no, just think about it abstract. You have ideas. I have ideas on who I think God is. I think God is a loving God. I have all these things that I can describe him with. My question is do over time, do we take God and put him in this box?
In a box.
And say, this is who God is, and he can't be anything else.
Well, I'm sure we do, because we can't comprehend.
Well, my next step on that is, and you're right, sometimes we can't comprehend. My next step in that is do we take that and make it into an idol? No, God cannot be anything else but this. Now, you've talked to people, I've talked to people who think that God is because that, you know, they read Old Testament and they see a revengeful, mean, hateful God. And you've talked to people who say, no, he's so loving that nobody's going to go to hell. Everybody's coming to spend eternity with him. Both those are putting God in a box and saying, this is who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, no. That is not me. I do not know how I speak with the Italian accent, but I do.
You sound like Pepe Le Pew.
I feel like Pepe Le Pew. Wait. Wasn't he canceled? Anyway.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Soviet, they have been canceled.
I don't know why.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't either.
I mean, I'm sure that's definitely possible. Obviously, we're human, and we're looking at it from our perspective, and we have no comprehension of what he really is. No matter how much you think you can comprehend it, you really can't.
Well, we can't. But he's made a way for us too. He's made a way that, like we just talked about, the effect of what he did at the cross, what he did in being raised from the dead, and what he did to bring the Holy Spirit into our lives. He made all the ways available for us to know more about him. Now, can we know everything? Of course not. Because, you know, the answer to someone saying there is no God, you know what the answer is? Well, obviously, your God. See, it's circular thinking. If someone says there is no God, you say, well, the only way you can know that is if you're God. And if you're God, then there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
So, it becomes that. But it's, I think it's just one of those things that I think we do. And I know I'm guilty of it because I think of, I mean, people all the time are saying, I'm surprised God did that. The Holy Spirit moved in that way. Well, why? He's alive. He's active. He's living in us. He's living through us. So can we take and put that in a box, hit him in a box and say, this is who God is? When in reality, all we're doing is making that an idol. You know, you said a picture a minute ago. There's a lot of people that do that. This picture of Jesus is my picture and I worship this picture. There's religions that do that.
Right.
A lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
They either picture, you know, it's either, but can we do the same thing with an idea of who we think God is?
Yeah.
You're just agreeing with me just to agree with me? Just to annoy me, aren't you?
No, I mean, I don't know that I'd put it that way, but I would definitely agree that we do limit our ideas of what he might be or not be.
Yeah. Well, here's the interesting part is I shouldn't have put you on the spot. I've been thinking about this for months.
Yeah.
One of my spider bites is itching. it's not really something that I can say, hey, Missy, I need this answer in the next 45 seconds. And if you don't give it, boo-boo on you.
Spidey sense was itching.
My spidey sense was itching. Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it may be true. I think that the whole thing is, you know, a little bit, you think deep. I don't think that deep.
You do too.
I'm on the emotional side, you know, that God loves me and I love God, and I don't necessarily always dive in that deep.
Okay. Well then let's just take it from what you just said. I'm not gonna put you on the spot with a question, but
yes, you are. Go ahead.
No, I'm not. You said God loves me and I love God. Well, you're human, so you can't always love him. Sometimes you got to be mad at him. He can't help but love you.
Right.
Because he's love.
Yes, this is true.
He is not. And you know, we hear people say, well, God loves because he does. He just loves. That's not, it's even beyond that, because he loves because that's who he is. He cannot not be God. If he was capable of not being God, then he could not love you. But he loves you because he's God and he is love.
Right.
But you don't always love him, and that's okay because you're human and you got emotions. Sometimes you get mad at him. That doesn't mean you don't love him, but maybe you don't feel like you love him.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, we do respond to our emotions more than. Yeah, I do anyway.
Yeah. Well, but here's my question is, it has to do with the idea of you loving him loving you. Are you putting him in a box and saying this is the only way our relationship can work?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
But someone out there listening just heard that and went, oh, wow.
Yeah, maybe it's for someone else. I mean, I could at times have done that, sure. You know?
Well, I think everybody could have in some form.
Get him out of the box, people.
Well, yeah. Well, realize there is a box. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Most people don't realize there's a box. This is who God is. And he's nothing else but that. This is who God is.
Right.
Tennessee Orange. I'm sorry, folks, you didn't hear that. But boy, I've got a cup and I'm holding it up and it's Tennessee Orange. So
but he's definitely not that.
No, he's not that. But there's people who think that he is. Some people look at the Bible and say, that's who God is. You know? Mm-hmm. And this is a description in a letter from God to us, but it's not who he is. Please, please, please bring him into your heart. And when it does, what happens is it's called redemption. When you invite God, when you invite Jesus, when you invite the Holy Spirit into your heart, he changes you from the inside out. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit comes to live and dwell in you, and he teaches you about God. So Missy says that prayer in a few minutes. Pray it and accept who he is.
Mm-hmm. Is that your hint at ending?
That was probably the best segue you've ever had, and you just laugh it off.
It was a great segue.
I just want to let you know I had a Moses imitation today. I was going to do Samson, and I was going to do Socrates and Aristotle both, but forget it now.
Well, we do, what's his name, Bob the Tomato?
Well, you already have Bob the Tomato recorded.
Okay.
Is it just because you like it?
I have to tell you something. Mm-hmm. One cool thing I thought I read about one time is how Jewish people, when they eat, and they're finished eating, they fold their napkin and lay it on the table, and it means they're finished with their meal. Mm-hmm. And Jesus Christ, they found his garments folded in the tomb. And that was kind of a cool, it is finished.
Right.
When he did that. Robert did lead me into a great segue, and I'm going to take it. So
too late.
Basically, you know, it's really important. This is a special day because Christ, I mean, we talk about Friday when he was crucified. We talk about that a lot, you know, and the most beautiful thing ever is that he was resurrected 3 days later. And that allowed us to have that relationship. So I want you to bow your head with me. And if you want to accept Christ, you just repeat these words. There's no magic words or anything. Just bow your head. Dear Lord, thank you so much for my time with my brother Robert. He said a lot of great things, Lord, and I hope they touch people in some way. And Lord, we know this is such a special day, and what an honor to have accepted you into my life, Lord. And I pray that anybody else who's out there who their heart is just beating fast and they're feeling that tug, Lord, that's the Holy Spirit nudging at them, giving this opportunity for you to come into their life. And you can just say this prayer. Dear Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. I know that you died on the cross for me. And if I was the only one, Lord, that you would have done that for me. And I know, Lord, that today, some 2,000 years ago, that you were resurrected from the dead and sit at the right hand of your Father. And now we have a relationship with you, Lord, and I just invite you into my heart. I pray that you would help me grow. I pray that you would help me understand these things that I don't understand, Lord. Now I believe so much in you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, one of the interesting things you just said in the prayer talked about sitting at the right hand of the Father. when Jesus in the book of Acts, when he's standing there next to the disciples and all of a sudden he starts floating away. Have you ever thought about the fact that he floated away in physical form? That was not a spirit.
No.
Think about it. That's exactly what he did. He was in a physical body because Thomas touched his hands. They all touched his body. Yeah. So he was in physical form. Now think about what that did when he got to the right hand of the Father, releasing the Spirit. But anyway, that's for another time.
Okay. Next podcast. Thanks, Robert, for coming on.
I love y'all.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it. Are you interested in listening to more episodes? Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeart, and Spotify. Do you have a question you'd like us to chat about? Email us at swduthink@gmail.com. We have new episodes